Welcome to Christians Community Center of Los Angeles, or as we love to call it, 3CLA, the Church for Truth Seekers. The word of truth that you are about to hear is from Apostle Will T. Washington. Our prayer is that you take that truth and apply it to your life with power and authority. For more information about 3CLA and other teaching opportunities, please visit us at our website at 3CLA.org. We also encourage you to do as 2 Timothy 2:15 states, you must study to show yourself approved under God, Yahweh, a workman, needing not be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Shalom.
We come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua, HaMashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And we thank you, Father, that you have kept us throughout this week, and you have brought us again to the house of Yahweh. We ask in the name of Yeshua that you would use the vessel that is before you today. Use it to the glory and honor of the Savior of the world, Yeshua, that he might be glorified, that many might come to him and receive salvation. Anoint what is said today. Place it into the minds and hearts of the listeners, that we all might profit withal. We thank you for that. In Yeshua HaMashiach's mighty name, Amen. You may be seated. Shalom. In case you do not know, shalom is a Hebrew word that when we meet you, we say shalom. When you leave, we say shalom. And shalom simply means peace. I've been sharing with you the last 8 months in regards to the tabernacle. Over the years, I have accumulated in my spirit so much of the word that I want to pour out. I used to pray when I was a young minister coming along, and I'd pray that Yeshua would get in my skin, that he would get into the pores of my hair, that he would get into my mind, the inner parts of my body. I wanted him to take all of me. And now he really has. It's in my heart. It's in my mind. I want to share that with you. And hopefully you will begin to feel like I feel about the word of Yahweh, the name of Yeshua, and the glory of him who has called us out of darkness into his marvelous light. Would you place the tabernacle up there? Now, what I have tried to share with you over the months is that this is a pattern of salvation. Yahweh gave a pattern of salvation 1500 BC. Now, you know BC is before Christ, right? 1,500 years before Yeshua was born, Yahweh gave this pattern to Moshe. And he said to Moshe, see here that you make it according to the pattern that I have showed you in the mountain. And last week we talked a little bit about a pattern, but without a pattern, you have no way to proof the product. Let me say that again, because you didn't get it. Without a pattern, there's no way to proof the product. Let me put it this way. Everything that is built must first have a pattern of how it is to be built. And if you don't have a pattern, there's no way to have a consistency of the product, and there's no way to proof the product once it is made. And so Yahweh gave us a pattern of salvation. The pattern was so important that it was critical that you kept the pattern. In a smoke, which you will call Exodus, the children of Israel was out in the wilderness, and they began to complain because they did not have water to drink. And Yahweh said to Moshe, assemble the people together, and I will stand with you upon the rock. And I want you to smite the rock, and water will come forth. And Moshe did that, water came forth. Then later on in the book of Bar Medbar, which you call Numbers, they complained again because they were in the desert about water. And Yahweh said to Moshe, what I want you to do, I'm going to stand with you upon the rock. But this time, just speak to the rock, and it will give the water. Moshe went and he struck the rock two times. Because, you know, he used his mind. Okay, I had to hit it one time to drink. I'm going to hit it two this time, but this is the second time. And Yahweh said to Moshe, because you didn't believe me, because you didn't honor me, you're not going to be able to cross over into the promised land. I'm going to show it to you, but I'm not going to let you go over. It was so important that this man who had faithfully led the children of Israel through the desert was now not able to enter into the promised land that he led them to because he messed up the pattern. And in 1 Corinthians 11 chapter, the writer Shaul said, that rock was Yeshua. And so, what do you mean? What kind of sense does this make? You only kill him one time. You only smite him one time. And then from now on in, you ask him. You get it? You see the pattern? Moshe messed up the pattern, so God had to make an example to say, you can't mess up the pattern and everything is going to be all right. No, that's right. Now here's the pattern. There's one way to God. People say, well, you think you got the only way? No. There's only one way. And all of us must find the one way to God. If I find it, don't get mad at me. Right? Yeshua said, I am the way. I am the truth and I am the life. He said, I am the door to the sheepfold. So there's only one way to Yahweh, and that is through Yeshua. That's the path. And when you entered in here, you must go to the altar. The pattern says there must be a sacrifice for sin. There has to be a sacrifice for sin. You can't get sin off of you without having a sacrifice. And here, the killing of the animals for sacrifice occurred. Day in and day out, these animals were slaughtered because the Bible said sin is exceedingly sinful. And once you left, you must stop here and make the sacrifice, accept the sacrifice. Then you moved on to the laver. Would we show the laver, please? Because you can't discern what that, here it is here. The brazen laver with water at the top and at the bottom and you had to wash at both. You had to be baptized from above, or washed from above and from beneath. You had to, and so 1 Corinthians 11 chapter say they all was baptized under Moshe in the cloud and in the sea. See the pattern? Now here, Smote said, if they do not wash, they will surely die. So here, you cannot, let's go back to the tabernacle now. As you got a good view of that, if you don't wash here, you cannot enter here. Let me say that again. If you are not washed from above and beneath here, you cannot enter into the Mikdak, which is the holy place, which is a type of the church. It's not me saying that you got to be baptized from beneath and from above. It's the pattern said that. So if I say I'm saved, you should be able to place my life against the pattern. And it should line up. It should fit on the pattern. Are you getting it? No, I know there's a lot of folk do everything every kind of way you can think about and say they saved. Some sprinkle with water and say they got in. Some dunk you three times and say they got in. Some are baptized from beneath but are not baptized from above. Some say it don't matter at all if you're baptized or not. Just water. But this says it does matter. You can't get into the church. You're not in the church if you're not baptized from above and from beneath. That's the pattern. So you tell me you're in the church, I'm going to put the pattern of baptism on you. This one, No. You don't fit. The pattern don't fit you. Now, let's open up the Mikdash, which is the holy place, which is a type of the church. Now remember, these are just pattern. It's not the actual thing, but it's a pattern. Here is the holy place, the church. In here, you must minister the Bible, Ephraim called it, they did the service of Yahweh in here. So if you are in here, you are saved. If you came in, if you got in, according to the pattern. If you didn't get in according to the pattern, you're not in here at all. You're somewhere else. We don't know where that is. But here you had a responsibility. You must minister at the table of shewbread, which is a type of the word of Yahweh. Yeshua said, I am the bread of life. And you also must minister at the golden lampstand with these seven lamps are burning. And if you read Revelation, it said they saw someone that was in the midst of the lampstand. And that was Yeshua. He is the center branch of the lampstand. This represents the Holy Spirit. He said, when I go away, I will send him, the Holy Ghost, back to you. And you minister in the Holy Spirit. You minister at the Word of God. And then you minister here at the golden altar of incense, which is a type of prayer. You minister here. But in order to have the acceptance of that ministry here, because what you did here, you sprinkle incense upon the hot coals, and the smell of the incense would go up, and that was a type of prayer that was acceptable to Yahweh. But the hot coals must come. Let's go back to the tabernacle. Because since I'm winding this up, I want you to understand clearly what I have taught you. The hot coals must come from the altar of sacrifice. Nadab and Abihu felt that it didn't make any difference where the hot coals came from. So they got the hot coals off their campfire or their kitchen fire. And they came to the tabernacle and going to sprinkle hot, they're going to put the hot coals and sprinkle incense, and they died instantly. Because the hot coals must come from the what is left from the sacrifice. And so prayer now is only acceptable if you use what is left from the sacrifice. And the sacrifice was Yeshua. And the only way you can get prayer answered is to do it in his name, and therefore the prayer is accepted, because that's what's left from the sacrifice. That's the fire. When you say in the name of Yeshua, that's the fire. And that's the only prayer that is acceptable. So today, let's go back to inside the tabernacle. Today we're standing before the veil. This is the veil. Because behind this veil is a place called the Holiest of Holies. Behind the veil represents heaven. And behind the veil is the Ark of the Covenant, which contained the pot of manna. Is how God fed the children of Israel in the wilderness. And there is Aharon's, or you call him Aaron's, rod that budded. Aaron's rod is just a walking stick. And this dead stick began to bloom. See, that's the type of you and me who was dead in trespasses and sin. Hallelujah. And he brought us to life again without any natural sources. And then there were the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments is holiness, pureness. The Ten Commandments is the holiness of God that no man could do. And that is why Yeshua had to come to be that sacrifice, because we were not able to do the minimal amount of walk here in this terra firma that would have qualified us to go to heaven. So we needed the sacrifice. We needed the sacrifice. Okay, so we're standing before the veil. Let me explain something about the veil. The veil was woven in such a way that you could connect two oxen pulling an opposite direction, and they could not rip the veil. But it was so fine and delicate that you could hit it with a sharp sword and you could not pierce it, because it would just fly up. This veil represented the separation of Yahweh from those who ministered therein. The only time you went beyond that veil was once a year. And the high priest is the only one that could enter. But he must stop here and put the hot coals up on the golden altar of incense, that the prayers would go up. And then he must have blood from the offering of that sacrifice. And he'd enter once a year, and he'd put blood upon the horns of that altar. And the Ark of the Covenant that held these items that I just explained to you had a lid on it, which was a different item, and that was called the mercy seat. Actually, it was called the kafar. And the kafar just simply means covering. See, there was no way to remove sin in that day. All God did was cover the sin for a year, for 1 year. And every year, the priest had to go back in to have the sins of the people covered. Now, today, we will start off in Ephraim, which you call Hebrew. Now, don't think I'm trying to show you how smart I am when I do this, but you will never know, and you will never be able to understand it except I give it to you in its original term. It was Ephraim. They were called Ephraim, or they were called Yehudi, the children of Israel. They were called Ephraim because Ephraim simply means those that passed over. They were the ones that came over the Red Sea. Yehudim is taken from the tribe of Yehuda. And they were called by Yehudim, which is the plural of Yehuda. So we will start at Ephraim, the 9th chapter, the 6th verse. So since I've explained some things to you, you're going to understand some of this. Now when these things were thus ordained, the priests went always into the first tabernacle, accomplishing the service of Yahweh. Remember the Mikdash, the first compartment that represented the church? There they accomplished the service of Yahweh. They ministered at the golden lampstand. They had to eat the shewbread and then replace it with fresh bread. That bread, fresh bread, would always be up on the table of shewbread. Just talking about us. We got to eat the word of God, and then we can only get more word once we eat what we got before us. Then they must trim the lamp on the lampstand, replace the oil. It's a matter, you got to minister in the Holy Ghost. You got to keep your fire burning. Huh? If you don't keep your fire burning, it will go out. So if you got the Holy Ghost, Yehuda said, what you call Jude said, building yourself up on your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Ghost. Now, I'm sorry. I'm just sorry. Maybe I'm going too deep for you. 7th verse. But unto the second, that is the holiest of holies, went the high priest along once every year, not without blood, which he offered for himself and for the error of the people on what is called the mercy seat, which is the covering. The Holy Ghost, now I want you to get this. The Holy Ghost signifying that the way into the holiest of all was not yet made manifest. So the veil was the Holy Ghost signifying, and the word for signify is delu, to making it plain or to point out there was no way to God. There was no way to God. All of those years, those people ministering there, but there was no way to God. So the Holy Ghost by the veil was signifying that the way into the holiest of holies was not yet made manifest, while as the first tabernacle was standing, which was a figure or a delu of tupos of for the time. It was a figure or an example or a pattern for the time then present, in which were offered both gifts and sacrifice that could not make him that did the service perfect. could not make them accept, pertaining to the conscience, which stood only in meats and drinks and divers washing and carnal ordinance imposed on them until the Reformation. So God had a reformation that was coming. The word for reformation is diarthesis, which means making things right again. See, things was right when he created Adam. Adam was a spiritual man. Adam could talk to God and walk with God. Adam didn't worship God. He was a friend of God. And something happened. Well, God gave him a mate called. See, you think I know where you don't know where I'm going. She gave him a mate called Adam. They both was called Adam. Huh? And she knew a little less about God than the man, because he was created first. And God gave them a garden with all kind of fruit trees, because they didn't eat meat. And he said, you can eat from any tree you want to, except this one tree that's in the midst of the garden. Don't eat of that tree, lest you die. Now, he didn't tell the second Adam that, which is a female Adam, because she was created later. So it seems that her real name was Hava. That was a real name. Hava is the life giver. She was the one that brought other humans into the world. She was the life giver, Hava. Her name was also Isha, which is an extension of the man called Ish. So all God did was put Sha on the name of Ish, and he named the woman Isha. But it seems that Isha stood around that tree looking at it. She didn't understand. Why can't I eat some of this? Now you got all these trees. You can eat off any tree you want. But something about human nature. When we tell you you can't have something, you wonder why you can't. That's human nature. So one day, she was standing by the tree looking at it, and Nakash showed up. That's the snake, the devil. And he said to her, have God said you cannot eat of every tree in the garden? He was trying to start a conversation. Look, we used to have an old saying, don't let the devil ride. Because after a while, he wants to drive. You don't talk to the devil. Because you're not smart enough. He's a deceiver from the beginning. Yeshua said to the people who said that they serve God, he said, you don't serve God. You serve the devil. And the devil was a liar from the beginning, and he's the father of a lie. And you're just like your daddy. And so, of course, Isha responded, oh, he just said I couldn't eat of this. He said, why? God knows if you eat of that, you're going to be wise as him. And so finally she ate. And then she took it to her husband. Now, her husband knew better. He knew better. But she done already took a bite. Too late for her. C'est la vie to her. It's all over, kaput. So each had to make a decision. If I don't eat, then I'm separated from this woman for the rest of our lives. And we might live forever. So now somebody said that wasn't so bad. But tell that to a man that's in love, and I'll tell you, you'll get a different answer. Hallelujah. You know, I tell people, if a person think they love somebody, ain't no sense in you getting in it, because you can't stop it because they think they're in love. And they'll cross seas. They'll run through fire. Yes, they will. For love. Rick said he done it. I've done it too. I've stood out in the cold, the winds of Chicago, at a phone booth because I had to contact somebody I love. So he had to make a decision. I'll be separated from her forever. So you know what I'm going to do? I'm going to join. And he took a bite. And of course, everything fell apart for them. And now it said, Yahweh had this standing until the Reformation, that is where he would make things, diarthesis, where he would make things right again. Eleventh verse. But Mashiach, being common high priest of good things to come by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, because that tabernacle was simply a what? Pattern. It was a pattern of a greater tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood, he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. Huh? Remember, eternal redemption. You don't have to hit him again. You just ask him. Now let's go to Netanyahu 27. I'm rushing. 27:46. I will never get in this study completely, no matter how much time I have. And let's start at the 46th verse. And this is talking about the crucifixion. And about the ninth hour. Well, let's go to the 45. Now from the sixth hour, which is about 12 noon, there was darkness over all the land until the ninth hour. Now, he was crucified in the third hour, which is about 9 o'clock in the morning. And then about 12 noon, darkness descended upon the land. And the darkness stayed there. This is daytime, remember. The darkness stayed there until the ninth hour, which is about 3 p.m. And about the ninth hour, Yeshua cried with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani? My God, for what you forsake me? Are you left, you leaving me? And we put forsake me because he said, for what you leave me? For what? Not why, but what did I do that you would leave me? Some of them that stood there when they heard that saying, this man calleth for Elias, which is misspelled in the New Testament anyway, but it's not the right one. They were trying to, in the era of the Old Testament, it is Elijah. But his name was Eliyahu. That was his name. And straightway one of them ran and took a sponge and filled it with vinegar and put it on a reed and gave him to drink. The rest said, let be. Let us see where the Eliyahu will come to save him. Yeshua, when he had cried again with a loud voice, yielded up the ghost. Now I want you to notice this. And behold, the what? The veil of the temple was what? Was rent in twain from the top to the bottom. When he bowed his head and gave up the ghost, the veil in the temple went whoom and opened up. And the earth did quake. And the rocks rent. That was an earthquake. Now, because I'm in a hurry, we'll stay right here and just start at the 18th verse. 9:18. No, we can't stay there. We got to go back to Ephraim 9:18. Whereupon, neither the first testament was dedicated without blood, for when Moshe had spoken every precept to all the people according to the Torah or the teachings, he took the blood of calves and of goats with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the testament which Yahweh has enjoined unto us. Moreover, he sprinkled with blood both the tabernacle and all the vessels of ministry. And almost all things by law, Torah, purged with blood. And without the shedding of blood is no remission of sin. It was therefore necessary that the pattern of things in heaven should be purified with these, that is blood. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifice than these. 24th verse. But Christ, a Messiah, is not entered into the holy place made with hand, which is a figure or a pattern of the truth, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of Yahweh for us. So the earthly was a pattern of what was in heaven. Yeshua, being of the tribe of Yehuda, could not have entered the tabernacle on earth because only the tribe of Levi could do that. But in heaven, only Yeshua could do it. So he's entered in. So when he died, the veil of the temple was rent because it was made plain that now the veil is removed. And now we have to go to the heavenly tabernacle where Yeshua would enter in and place his blood in heaven. Ephraim 4, I'm rushing because I got to get over with this. Ephraim 4. Now you'll understand this. Seeing then, y'all, does that kind of tell you something? Seeing then that we have a great high priest that is passed into the heavens, Yeshua the son of Yahweh, let us hold fast our profession. I read that every communion. For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. Let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy. See, the mercy seat, that we may obtain what? Mercy and find grace to help in time of need. I have taken you through the pattern. Not all of it, because there is just really no time to do that. But I want us to end this by going to Ephraim, the second chapter, because I want to inform you that Ephraim is the book that explains the tabernacle in the Hebrew sense. Ephraim 2. And this is a warning to you all. Therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have what heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. For if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward. You don't get away with nothing. You don't get away with nothing, really. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by Yeshua and was confirmed unto us by them that heard him? And so here's the admonition to all. You ought to give him more earnest heed. I have tried to say to you that only the name of Yeshua can get beyond the veil. I have tried to show you the truth of the tabernacle on earth and the tabernacle in heaven. If you insist in continuing the era of Jesus, you should be careful. You should be careful. Because you're not judged critically upon what you don't know. You will be whipped, but it will be with a few stripes. But if you know and don't do, you are whipped with many stripes. So here's the word. Therefore, we ought to give a more earnest heed to the things which we have heard. Because if the words of angels are steadfast, and every disobedient received the just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? The truth is being revealed in this age and in this time. We either accept it or we reject it. I can't argue with you about what happened to mama or daddy who was in the church and worship in the name of Jesus. All I can say to you is that God is a just God, and God knows all things, and God will not forget our labor of love. So I can't tell you what would happen, but I do tell you there are people that are going to be in heaven who is not in the bride. They are called friends of the bride. But the reality is, you ought to be glad if you get in. Hallelujah. You ought to be glad if you got in. Father Yahweh, we come to you in the blessed name of Yeshua HaMashiach, of whom the whole family in heaven and earth is named. And Father, we thank you. We have tried to share your word, that those that hear might receive the truth of your word, and that they might act upon that truth and secure themselves a place in the kingdom. For those who will not hear, I cannot say very much except minister, help them that they too might hear. In Yeshua's mighty name, amen. Keep your head bowed. There may be someone here today, you are not saved, but you have heard the word and you want